Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Shaped to Make a Difference. In these teachings, Pastor Rick uses the acrostic SHAPE, your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, to talk about the way God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD and workbook study kit for this life-changing series. This extremely popular Shape to Make a Difference study kit is a great way to be a blessing to your family, friends, or small group. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Purpose of Your Personality.
Now, the biblical worldview, and Christianity is a worldview, the biblical worldview that's in this Bible is the only logical, rational worldview that squares with reality. I don't know if you've studied all the nine major worldviews of life. I have. I've studied them intensely. And every other worldview that's not based on this ultimately ends up in nihilism, which means nothing matters. There is no meaning in life if there is no God. People try to make it up, but there really isn't. There is no morality in life without God. You cannot have a moral society if there is not a moral God. Otherwise, we're just animals. If there is no God, then you are an accident, and your life doesn't matter squat. If there is no God, then your life has no purpose. It has no meaning. You are a freak accident. You're simply just an animal, and it's survival of the fittest. And if I want to come over and kill you and take your stuff, well, sorry, it's survival of the fittest. There is no basis for morality in society if there is no God. The logical, rational, intelligent, systematically lining it up with reality is the worldview that God gives us in His Word. And God says, I want you to use your mind. Now, people who are thinkers, when they become believers and follow Christ, all of a sudden they fall in love with the Bible because they love to study this book. It is so deep. There's no other book in the world like it. And you could study it and study it and study it. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And it has all of the answers to life's questions like, why am I here? Where am I going? What am I here for? What is the purpose of life? Does my life matter? What's the past? What's the future? Where did I come from? They're all here in this book. And thinkers dig in and they study. And they love Bible study because they are thinkers. The Bible says this in Psalm 119. How I love your law. I think about it all day long. Now, why do we need thinkers in the world? We need talkers because we need communication. We need feelers because we need compassion. We need thinkers because the world needs consideration. Consideration. In other words, somebody's got to be thinking through complex issues. Complex problems. Somebody's got to be thinking through the implications of what the rest of us are doing. And we need people who think through tough problems and bring solutions to the table. That's why we need scientists. That's why we need writers. That's why we need philosophers. That's why we need inventors, inventing new things and thinking it through. That's why we need innovators and why we need creators who are thinking through solutions to problems that are in the world. The Bible tells us that we are to think about what God wants to do in our own lives. It says this in Lamentations chapter 3. We should think about the way we are living and turn back to the Lord. Socrates said, the unexamined life isn't worth living. We need to think about the direction of our lives. And thinkers are good at this. They ponder the path that they're heading. Now, are there any weaknesses to this personality? Well, of course, just like there are weaknesses to talkers and weaknesses to feelers, there are two weaknesses of thinkers. Number one is pride. Pride. because thinkers who have the ability to think fast or are educated tend to look down on people who don't think the way they do. And, well, you're not sophisticated, or you're not educated, or you don't know what I know. And they tend to devalue everybody else, not realizing that we now know there are at least 9 different kinds of intelligence, not just one. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says this. It says, pride puffs up, or knowledge makes people arrogant, but love builds them up. King James says, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. If you're going to be smart, great, use your smarts, but you must temper it with love. Otherwise, you're going to be egotistical. Now, let me tell you a little secret. Don't tell anybody I told you this. The last couple years, I've had the opportunity to speak at and meet with some of the most brilliant minds in the world, in congresses and conferences and seminars, very bright people. And you know what? Some of them are just flat out stuck up. They're snooty. They're snotty. I won't tell you what they are. But they're smart. They know they're smart. And they'll be happy to tell you they're smart. And they're proud of their smarts. And what they don't realize is everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. Okay? You know some things a physicist doesn't know. And the person next to you knows some things you don't know. And they know some things I don't know. Everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. Nobody knows everything. So the Bible says, don't be proud of your wisdom. Be proud that you know the Lord. Now, if you are a thinker, you ought to use your intelligence, but temper it with love. Because otherwise, you can become egotistical about it. The other problem of thinkers is indecision. Some people use study as an excuse to never act. And some of the most scholarly people I know are also the most vacillating, wimpy, indecisive people I know. They're always saying, well, it could be this, and it could be that, and it could be this, and it could, and they never come to conclusion. The Bible talks about them like this, always studying, but never able to recognize the truth. And some people use study as an excuse, as a barrier to never act, to never really do anything. So the Bible gives warnings to thinkers, just like it does to talkers and to feelers. The first one is practice humility. The Bible says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Why? Because God is God and you're not, and he's a lot wiser. Humility is a choice. By the way, never pray for God to humble you. In the first place, not once in the Bible are you ever told to pray that prayer. It never says, ask God to humble you. So don't ever say, God, please humble me. No. In the Bible, it says, humble yourself before the Lord. It's a choice. Humility is something you do to yourself. Nobody else can do it to you. They can humiliate you, but they can't make you humble. Humble is something you do to yourself. It's a choice to say, God, you know what, in essence, humility is? It's total dependence upon God. God, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you in this moment. Even with the gifts and the talents and abilities that you've given me, I'm trusting you. And humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. The other warning to thinkers is to practice what you know. Practice what you know. If you know it, then do it. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You could come to Saddleback Church for 20 years and take notes on every single sermon ever preached here, and still never really do it. Would you write this down in your outline? I only believe the parts of the Bible I actually do. I only believe the parts I actually do. Do you believe we ought to give to the poor? Yeah. Do you do it? Nah. Do you believe that people need Christ to go to heaven? Yeah. Do you tell them about it? No. Do you believe in tithing? Yeah. Do you do it? No. You only believe the parts you do. You may write it down. Be kind to my wife. If you're not kind to your wife, you don't believe it. You only believe the parts that you do. Doers love God with their strength. This is the fourth personality, the doer. These are the energetic activists of life. They're the get-it-done people. They're the achievers, the accomplishers, the workers, the people that push things forward, that make things happen in the practical sense of life. Psalm 116 says this. This is a verse of a doer. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. He's saying, God, put me in, coach. I want to be in the game. Don't leave me on the sideline. I want to be involved in this. I don't want to watch history happen. I want to make history. Put me in the game. Let me in there. Let me have a shot at it. I'm ready to go to work, Lord. I'm obedient. I'm active. And I'm ready to go to work. I'm ready to serve you. Now, what is the purpose of doers in the world? Well, the world needs contribution. We don't just need communication. We don't just need compassion. We don't just need consideration. We got to get to act, get to work, and do it. We need contribution. We need people of action. We need, as Pastor Kerry calls them, get her done people. People with initiative, with energy, with action, with a bias for achievement, with a bias for starting things and growing things and building things and developing things. Hands and feet people. Go-getters. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 1, offer your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, pure and pleasing. That's the most sensible, in other words, practical way to serve God. He says, offer your body. Why? Because that's the only way you can serve God. Even if you're using your mind or your mouth or your heart or your emotions, it's part of your body. You can't serve God out of your body. So be practical. He says, give him your body. Say, God, here's my body for you to use in this world in any way you want to be used. And of course, it takes thinkers and talkers and feelers and doers. And about a fourth of us are in each of those categories. And God says, now I want you to love me all four ways, but in the way that you're primarily shaped, that's the way I expect your primary worship, your primary love, and your primary service to come. By talking, by thinking, by feeling, by doing. And we're all necessary in the body of Christ.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? Of course you have, and you are not alone. In the Shaped to Make a Difference 6-session DVD study kit created by Pastor Rick Warren and taught by Pastor Eric Reese, you'll see how the acrostic S-H-A-P-E, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, reveals how God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Whether you're a younger person or you're in your later years, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you your very own copy of the 6-session Shaped to Make a Difference DVD and Workbook Study Kit. Availability of this life-changing resource, perfect for solo or small group study, is limited, so contact us right now. You can call 800-600-5004, or you can visit PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
God says, now I want you to love me all four ways, but in the way that you're primarily shaped, that's the way I expect your primary worship, your primary love, and your primary service to come. By talking, by thinking, by feeling, by doing. And we're all necessary in the body of Christ. Now, just as talkers and feelers and thinkers have their weaknesses, what are the weaknesses of doers? Well, I can say it in one word, overwork. Overwork. Doers are always working. Work, 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 work. And they never stop to think. They certainly don't stop to feel. And they wouldn't spend a second stopping to talk. Let's just get it done. Let's get it done. And so they're always busy, busy, busy. And God says this in Psalm 127. It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing you're going to starve to death. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. That would be a good verse to put up on the mirror in your bathroom. God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. This week in my personal quiet time, as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, God gave me a verse that I hadn't seen before in the Message paraphrase. It says this on the screen. Slow down. Take a deep breath. What's the hurry? Why wear yourself out? Just what are you after anyway? But you say, I can't help it. I'm addicted to alien gods. That means false gods, phony gods, fake gods. It means not the true God. I'm addicted to something else other than the one true God. And I can't quit. Let me read it again. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Everybody just take a deep breath right now. Slow down. Take a deep breath. What's the hurry? Why wear yourself out? Just what are you after anyway? But you say, I can't help it. I'm addicted to alien gods. I can't quit. Question. What alien gods are you addicted to? The approval of other people? Money? Status? Are you addicted to praise? To sex? To making a name for yourself? Are you addicted to adrenaline? You just like the rush of working fast? Why can't you slow down? Why can't you stop and take a break? What are you really after? You need to know that, particularly if you're a doer. Why do you do what you do? When you know the why, God will show you how. But if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you're in a cycle. God says, slow it down. If you're a doer, you need to slow it down. Some of you need to do less. Not less for God, but less in other areas. So you got more time to do what matters most. Now, the Bible says that when you become a believer, that God makes you a new person inside. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 7, verse 17 says, when anyone becomes a Christian, if any man be in Christ, you are a new person inside. The old has passed away, the new has come. What is actually new in your life when you become a believer? Well, we've talked about it many times. Past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. But let me tell you something that doesn't change. When you come to Christ, your personality doesn't change. If you were a talker before you knew the Lord, you're still a talker. If you were a feeler before you knew the Lord, you're still a feeler. If you were a thinker before you knew the Lord, you're still a thinker. And if you were a doer before your Lord, before the Lord, you still are a doer. God doesn't slow you down when you come to him. He just changes your direction. In fact, he says, I want to empower it. Remember, you got your personality from him. And God doesn't want to make you a clone of everybody else in the way that you worship and serve and love God. No, he says, I want you to worship and love and serve me the way I made you to be, with your personality, through talking, through feeling, through thinking, through doing. And I want you to do it all four ways, even though I primarily put you in one category. But he says, not only that, I will strengthen your personality, not dampen it. I'm not going to turn you into a religious nut. I'm going to make you more you than you've ever been before. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? Of course you have, and you are not alone. God intentionally created you to fulfill a unique purpose. Discover how you can live the full and abundant life God designed for you in the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session DVD study kit, created by Pastor Rick Warren and taught by Pastor Eric Reese. You'll see how the acrostic SHAPE, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, reveals how God wired you and why you need not just to know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Each session includes tools that will help you bring clarity to your future goals and show you how to have the most fulfilling life possible. A life lived for God's purposes, by God's design. No matter your age, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. This life-changing resource is perfect for personal or small group study. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own copy of the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session DVD and workbook study kit. You can call 800-600-5004 or you can visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle or 1-800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share with you a note I got in the mail from Alyssa. She wrote, "Hi, Pastor Rick. I'm a 33-year-old living in Jamestown, North Dakota, and I'm married with three kids. I just want to thank you so much for your Daily Hope broadcast. I listen to them regularly, and I've learned so much. You know, I realized very quickly that I needed to have a notebook journal available to write down all the notes as I listened to you. I love the convenience that the podcasts have, and I turn them on as I'm getting ready in the morning while I'm cooking or I'm in the car traveling, and even when I'm working out, which is great. I've also been sharing them with several people. I often think of specific people that I want to share your podcast with after I've heard your message. I don't know if they've listened to them or not after I've shared them, but I do know that one of my friends has been regularly listening to you now. And I ran into her at the park when she was jogging, and when she stopped to say hi, I could hear your voice in her earbuds." That's great. "She's been struggling with a verbally abusive relationship for many years, and I know that your Daily Hope has helped her. Rick, God has really used you to reach so many people, and I thank you for being obedient to him and his calling to you. I will continue to pray for you. Thank you for impacting my life, Alyssa." Well, Alyssa, thank you for sending this message. You know, we live to hear these stories, and I'm so glad to hear how God is using Daily Hope, not only in your life, but in the life of your friends, because you've cared enough to pass it on. So thanks for sharing that podcast with others. I know you're being a blessing to them. And I want to say to the rest of you, have you shared the news of Daily Hope with anybody? Would you find one person today and recommend that they start listening to Daily Hope either on the radio or on a podcast or getting the daily devotional through the email? We are here to help you fulfill your mission in sharing Christ with other people. So tell one person today about Daily Hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.